For the next few minutes, I want to talk with you about a few things, but I want to start with a story. A few of you have probably heard of a man named Joshua Chamberlain. Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Anybody heard of him? A few? So Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain was a professor and decided to sign up, enlist in the military. So within a few months, he was made colonel. And shortly after that, he was asked to lead a regiment. A regiment is a group of anywhere up to 1,000 men. So this particular regiment that he was serving or leading ended up being a combination of both green men, men who had never served in battle, and men who had experienced the sights and sounds and the struggles of battle. And what made Joshua Lawrence known was the portion he served, or the part he served during the Battle of Gettysburg. Everybody's heard of Gettysburg. So it was his task during that particular battle to protect and hold the left flank of the Union Army. The hill that he was protecting was Little Round Top. So that was the far left flank of the Union Army. His regiment of 368 men, I think I got that number right, was supposed to hold off two regiments of Confederate soldiers. Those two regiments outnumbered them greatly, and they would attack, pull back, attack, pull back, etc. You follow me? So during the battle, the number of men that he had that were still able to fight was cut in half. So half of their 368 were either injured or killed. And for this last onslaught of Confederate soldiers, they had, on average, two bullets remaining. So they had converted over from the balls that we're used to thinking about to bullets, carbine rifles. So two remaining, and the attack had begun. So he had a choice. His officers, the men that were serving beneath him, suggested that they retreat. He had been given strict commands not to retreat, to hold that line, because as you know, anybody that's looked at any military history, once the flank goes, so does everything else. Once the side collapses, then it all collapses on itself. So the decision for him was twofold. One, retreat as his officers were suggesting, or two, hold the line as he had been commanded. What a choice. So if anybody who knows anything about Civil War history knows that Gettysburg is in the north. General Lee had worked his way north and was trying to get to near D.C., but the Union was losing, even though they had more money, had more supplies. They're losing the war. And this battle was crucial, and they were losing it up until that moment. So as the battle was going on, he was injured. I think he'd been shot or injured in his foot or lower leg. He's standing on the wall, and he has to make a choice. The Confederate troops are 30 feet to 30 yards away. So they're at the base of the hill, coming up the hill, attacking. And the decision he makes was neither of those. So he yelled, "Bayonets!" Which was an instruction to go ahead and attach a bayonet to the end of your rifle and prepare for hand-to-hand combat. And from that moment, they advanced on the Confederate troops. So they were outnumbered 5-1 at that point, and they advanced down the hill. Not much of a hill if you look at pictures. But advanced down through the boulders, down the hill, on the Confederate troops, sweeping from left to right. And as they did, the Confederate troops, even though they outnumbered them, were so surprised by this maneuver that they retreated. So their group of 368 captured 400 Confederate troops, and the rest is history. So that day, the decision he made literally changed the future for America. Historians say that that one action in that one battle probably set in motion the United States as we know it now, rather than at least two separate countries. So we would be living, Tennessee's a middle state, we'd be living in the CSA, maybe. strange thought for any of us now, but it was a realistic thought then. So the reason I tell that story is because of that one choice, because of the choice he made and the choices his men made, we have a whole United States. They said that if Gettysburg had been lost, the country would have been split, and America as we know it wouldn't be what it is. And so because of that, 150 years later, our country is the most powerful nation on the planet and the most charitable nation on the planet. And so that one action that many years ago has changed everything. And so I thought about what can we pull from that in our Christian lives? So we could take thoughts like going from defensive to offensive, going from retreating to advancing, changing negative attitudes for positive attitudes. We could talk about leadership. We could talk about never giving up. But the one I decided to simplify it to was choices. So if we look through the Bible, I was talking with Granddaddy earlier this afternoon, there's no way, he and I were talking about, there's no way we could count the number of choices that are made in the Scriptures as we see it. Millions of choices are made. Some of those choices are good. Some of those choices are really bad. So I was thinking about good choices and bad choices and something we can learn. The kids have been studying about King David and Absalom. Kids, did Absalom, and you don't have to shout or anything, but did Absalom make good choices? No. He made terrible choices. Any of you teachers that have been teaching this past quarter or will be teaching this quarter, Absalom made really, really bad choices. So rather than follow the example of his father, who respected and honored the king before him for who he was and who chose him to be king, Absalom decided within himself, he made a choice to try to overthrow the king and become king himself. Terrible choice. Two more examples I think of. The next one is Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira made a couple of really bad choices. First, they made a choice to lie about what they had given, and then they decided to perpetuate that lie, as we can sometimes be guilty of doing. And those choices ultimately led to their death. They had an opportunity to change, repent, turn around, and they chose not to. They decided to go ahead and continue that same lie and move forward with it. And so ultimately it ended up not a good thing for them. Now, we think about another example. This is a good choice made. Philip, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip is somewhere, I assume, north of Israel because he's instructed to travel south to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza on the west coast, well, on the coast of the Mediterranean. And he's instructed to travel south and do something when he gets there. So he has a choice. His first choice is, do I go? Man, it's hot down there. I'm going to have to go to the desert? So he has a choice. He goes. Second choice he has to make is, and I read this right before I came in again, I just can't picture a man running along the side of a chariot saying, do you understand what you're reading? It's a funny thought. But he had a choice. How am I going to do this? Or am I going to do this? Because it looks a little strange to run next to a chariot. There's a man reading out loud in a chariot, riding along, or so it says. And he has to make a choice. Am I going to talk to him? Now, we here today, if we came across somebody who was reading the Bible, you know, we know he wasn't reading the Bible. He was reading a scroll, probably. But he's if we come across somebody reading the Bible now or somebody that we see as religious in nature, sometimes we actually, the choice we make is rather than to advance and to use that as an opportunity, we take that as an opportunity to pull away. And it could easily have been the case that Philip might have said to himself, this man is obviously Jewish, which he may, or he obviously is interested in the old law, so I won't move forward. But he didn't make that choice. He asked him the question, and then they started a Bible study, which led to, ultimately, his baptism. And, we don't know for sure, but possibly He was a huge influence. I would expect he was a massive influence in the country of Ethiopia when he returned. He knew people probably at very high stature because of his position and at a very low stature. But it all started with a choice that Philip made. So Philip made a choice, several choices, and those led to choices for the Ethiopian eunuch, a man from Ethiopia, and all of the men that he encountered along the way. The lesson, the thought I want to share is that every day we are making choices. Every day we have choices to make. Sometimes those choices are between right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil. Other times those choices are between good and great or great and greater. Doors open for us all the time, and though I don't have a vast and thorough understanding of the providence of God, I think that the providence of God, that doors are open to us many times per day, and we have a choice of whether or not to walk through those doors. It's the same kind of thing. This is meant as an invitation a lot of times, but we have choices to make. Every time we encounter somebody, the way we show our love by doing something kind, or sharing the gospel, or sharing a good thought for the day, or not doing those things, which is just as easy to do. So, as we close, try to remember that through the rest of the week. But also as we close, every time we have an invitation, every single person in the room that's old enough to understand what we're doing has to make a choice. Even those of us who are Christians, we have to make a choice. Are we satisfied with the status quo? Status quo is, am I satisfied with how I am right now? Or is it time for me to do something different? And so for those of you who are not Christians, and I know there are some in here, you have a choice to make. Do I want to go another day without being a Christian? Or is it time to change that and make the right choice? For those of us who are Christians, then we have a choice of whether we want to be satisfied with where we're at. Do we need, or do we need the prayers of those around us? This is our congregation doesn't spend as much time. We don't have, I've noticed that we don't have as many people coming forward as some congregations do, maybe more than other congregations do. But this is an opportunity for those of you who are struggling with any issue whatsoever, especially if it's something public, but anything personal, for us to know and care enough to show that care and to pray on your behalf. So as we sing this song that Mike's going to lead, give those some thoughts. Thank you.